Thank you, Terry. I'd rather have Jesus. That was Julie's grandfather's favorite song, Edwin Lindgren. He loved the Lord and kept His commandments. He's a good man. I did something unearthly last week. You don't think that's a word, do you? Unearthly? Unearthly means not terrestrial or not mundane. Weird. Unearthly. I flew in a plane. You ever thought about that stuff that holds you up when you're flying in a plane? Air is a force, isn't it? Air, under the right circumstances, can pick up a mobile home. It can stop a tractor trailer. It can drill a well, I think. Is that right? It can lift a commercial jet off the ground and keep it in the air. We can't smell it. We can't see it. But we can experience it and know its results. The Bible talks a lot about air. In both the Old Testament and New Testament, the words aren't translated air. Sometimes breath, sometimes wind or spirit. And as we've walked through the Gospel of John, we see Jesus oftentimes talking about the Spirit. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, "You must be born again by the Spirit of God." In John chapter 4, He called us to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 7, for example, Jesus said that if you believe in Him and come to Him, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And He said this referring to the Spirit. When we come to the farewell discourse in John chapter 14 and 15 and 16, we find that the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is one of the prominent themes. Tonight we're going to see that here in the farewell discourse, Jesus calls the Spirit of God by a new name to help His disciples understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we live for Jesus in this world. One of the things we learn by studying John chapter 14, 15, and 16 is that as we seek to follow Jesus in this world, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit to sustain us in this life. Let's look at John chapter 14, verse 16 through 17. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you. This word helper, in reference to the Spirit, is a word that's not used often in the New Testament. It's used four times here in this farewell discourse and once in 1 John. In fact, as I look over this congregation, I realize that you guys are such advanced students of the Word, you probably want to read all of them, don't you? So as you have your Bible open there, we don't have it on our screens, but let's just read them all. It won't take long. John 14, 16 and 17 is the first occurrence. John 14, 26 is the second. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. In John chapter 15, verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about Me. and John 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then notice that in 1 John chapter 2, John uses this very same word, helper, comforter, to describe the work of Jesus on our behalf. When in 1 John chapter 2, John writes, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate, same word, an advocate, a helper, a comforter, a counselor, a friend with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I can't stop there. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. So there's this theme about the Holy Spirit. And our focus this evening is how the Holy Spirit is introduced to the disciples in this farewell discourse in verse 16 and 17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Let's look at these two verses tonight, asking some simple questions. Who is the helper? Where is the helper? And what does the helper do? Notice, we don't ask the question, what is the helper, but who? And the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit, not as it, but as he, the third person of the Trinity. Who is the helper? The Bible here teaches us that one of the ways we understand the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives is he is the paraclete, is the New Testament word, parakleton, the one called alongside of. And this is a word, a concept that's hard to grab hold of, in part of because of it's used in, as a passive, the one called alongside of. And you'll notice that almost every English translation of the Bible that you read or study uses a different word to translate this. Some have actually just punted and used either the Greek word paraclete, or have substituted for this word Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But it's important for us to wrestle a little bit with this word paraclete, the one called alongside of it. The Holy Spirit is the one who's called alongside of us. Many of you, like me, were raised up with the King James Version, and you're familiar with the word comforter. The King James uses the word comforter to translate this word paraclete. And that's perfectly acceptable, except for the fact that the English language has changed some since 1611. And in our vocabulary today, the word comfort is a kind of a soft word. It's a word that means something like to console. And if you're not careful, understanding the Holy Spirit as the comforter might communicate the idea the Holy Spirit is there just to pat you on the back and make you feel better in this rough old world. And he does console us. But this word called alongside of us is a stronger idea than that. That's why some translations, like the New American Standard, translate helper or even friend. Somebody called to our side. I think the New International Version uses the word counselor. And counselor's okay as long as you understand that the image is a legal counsel before a courtroom, not somebody talking to you when you're laying on the couch. Remember, this is the same word that we translate advocate in 1 John. And it is a kind of a legal word that conjures up the picture of us standing before the judge and someone who is called to our side, who is not just with us, but who has credibility and expertise and authority. Our advocate, our helper, our comforter, our counselor, our friend. This is the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. And it's important to notice that in verse 16, Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. Isn't that something? You know, in the language of the New Testament, there are two words for another. One means another of a different kind. And the other, this word, means another of the same kind. Jesus here says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper of just the same kind. And remember, this is a promise made in the context of his departure. Jesus says, I'm going away, but I'm going to ask the Father and he will give you another helper of just the same kind. He'll fulfill the role of my presence in your life, the comforter, the helper. A.T. Robertson, a great New Testament scholar, speaking about this word in this text, said, so the Christian has Christ as his paraclete with the Father and the Holy Spirit as the Father's paraclete for us. 1 John chapter 2 says Jesus is our advocate with the Father. And in a sense, here in the farewell discourse, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is the Father's advocate in your life. The Holy Spirit, it's important for us to understand, is not an add-on luxury. This is not a kind of a last-minute thought that Jesus had before he left. It's not just a nice little extra fringe benefit that Christians experience. But the promise of the Holy Spirit comes from the very heart of the gospel promise. It's as old as Jeremiah and Ezekiel, who look forward to the new covenant in which through the Messiah, God's people would experience the power of God, the Spirit of God at work within them, changing them. And now Jesus says that as I go, the Holy Spirit will come to work within. By the way, you notice in chapter 14, and we'll see it again in verse 16, that Jesus connects the promise of the Holy Spirit to his going. And it's not just that the Holy Spirit can't come till he leaves. The point here is what Jesus is going to do. He's leaving them so that he can die on the cross for the sin of the world, be buried, and rise again as the victorious king. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is right at the center of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Why did he die on the cross? To forgive us of sin and give us the Spirit who had changed us from the inside out. So, who is the helper, the paraclete, the comforter? He is the Holy Spirit. A helper just like Jesus. Where is the helper? Look again at verse 16 and 17. I will ask the Father. By the way, that's emphatic. It's a promise, a strong statement. I myself will ask the Father. And we know the Father gives Jesus whatever he asks for. I myself will ask the Father and he himself will give you another helper. Where is he? That he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him and know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is with each disciple. That's a repeated promise in the text, isn't it? He's with you. He abides with you. And that, again, stands in contrast to the departure of Jesus. He is leaving, but the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, He will be with you. And Jesus acknowledges something that we don't need to be ashamed of or avoid. He acknowledges the fact that to the world, this is nonsense. When we talk about the Holy Spirit being with us, it sounds like a bunch of phooey to the world. They can't see that. They can't touch that. It makes no sense to them. Remember, the Apostle Paul will later affirm this and say that the natural man, he can't even conceive of the things of the Spirit. It's foolishness to him. And Jesus affirms that here. When we were growing up, my little brother, 3 years younger, had an imaginary friend. Not overly creative. My brother's friend's name was Bill. I always thought he'd come up with a better name than that. But, Bill played with him and walked across the street in the neighborhood with him. Sometimes Bill ate with us. We pulled up a chair for him. To a lot of your lost friends, people in our world, when you talk about the Holy Spirit being with you, they chuckle at you just like you chuckled about Bill. They can't see him. It sounds silly. But the promise of Jesus is that He is with us. It's an emphatic promise. Forever, He abides with us. Even more than that, the Holy Spirit is within each disciple. So that we see in verse 17, because He abides with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit within. One of the reasons why that sometimes when we help people to make a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, we'll talk to them, sometimes especially children, about asking Jesus to come into your heart. The Bible teaches us that to be a disciple, a follower of Christ, is to turn away from sin and trust in Christ, to follow Him. And the Bible tells us that what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to allow the Holy Spirit of God to change you from the inside out. To give you a new heart. To work within you in power and faithfulness by His grace. And so it's perfectly acceptable. It's in line with the biblical revelation to understand being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ as being someone who has welcomed the Lord Jesus to come inside and change us at the very core, to come into our hearts. Here Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father, and He's going to give you the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. Even more than that, He's going to be within you. That's the gospel promise. He's going to be within you. The Helper is the Spirit of God living and working with and within each disciple. Remember, the Apostle Paul will tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, that if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not the child of God. That there's no such thing as someone who is saved, that has not been saved, by the power of the Holy Spirit living and working within. Who is the Helper? He is the Holy Spirit. Where is the Helper? He's with us. He's within us. Why? Or maybe we should say, what does the Spirit do? What does the Holy Spirit do with us, within us? Well, as you could tell when we read all of the references to the Holy Spirit in the farewell discourse, we have other things to talk about. But just look at what Jesus says in verse 16 and 17 about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He emphasizes two aspects of the Spirit's work. I will ask the Father, He will give you another helper, Paraclete, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him and know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. First, the present helper, the Holy Spirit, gives us strength. This descriptive title of the Holy Spirit as our helper, our advocate, the one called to our side, speaks to the fact that we're called to a way of life that we could never hope to live up to. If we're going to be the people that Christ calls us to be, we need help. We've got to have someone beside us. And so one of the things we're learning here is that the Holy Spirit gives us strength. Remember last Sunday night in verse 12, we saw that Jesus promised that we would do greater works than His because He goes to the Father. And that was a little preview of this promise of the Holy Spirit. Since He's gone to the Father, we have the Holy Spirit within, and we can do these greater works in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit gives us strength. He empowers us. Second, the Holy Spirit, our present helper, guides us in truth. And we can talk about, we'll talk about this more, because it's repeated. But remember last week, we saw the power of asking in the name of Jesus and for His glory, asking in line with His heart's desire. And even this morning, we talked in verse 15 about obedience and its importance in our life. The Holy Spirit guides us in the truth, so that in our praying and our obeying, we can be pleasing to Him. He is the helper who is with us. He is the Spirit of truth within. He is the truth. You know, in some ways there are two great dangers in the Christian life. One is deception, and the other is discouragement. Some followers of Christ are deceived, and they get off track. Some are discouraged. The Holy Spirit, our comforter, our counselor, our advocate, helper, friend, His present with us, giving us strength so that we would not be discouraged, and giving us truth so that we might not be deceived. I won't leave you alone. I will give you another helper of the same kind. What a great promise. I'm going to try to stop talking about Israel. But while we were in Israel, Julie and I could not help but remember the first time we went there several years ago. All three of our sons went with us. They were all teenagers. And they were excited about being there, but not overly excited about being there with mom and dad. You know how that goes. And almost every place we would go, we'd get off on the bus in that tour, and they would run ahead of us. But oftentimes there are crowds, and sometimes there's security that might make it a little awkward. And it was very common for them to run out ahead of us, but next thing we'd know, they would have been drawn right back to our side. Let me tell you that in some ways, that's the unfortunate story of many disciples. We gain confidence and we run out ahead. We stray away. We think we can make our own way, stand on our own feet, follow Him in our own power. But it doesn't take long before we realize that we're not up to the task to which we're called. And we better ease back to the one who's called alongside. And allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and to guide us in all truth. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, we thank You for Jesus, for the love of Jesus that is so apparent in this teaching. I will ask the Father, and He will give You another helper, one called to Your side. What a blessed Savior we have. And Father, I pray that You would teach us deep truths about the Holy Spirit in this study. I pray that we would be a people who walk in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit who lives within. Father, we thank You for the good news of Jesus Christ. More than a gospel of forgiveness, a gospel of power. More than a promise of heaven, a promise of the Holy Spirit alive and at work within. We rejoice, Father, in all that You give us in Jesus Christ. Especially do we rejoice in the gift of Your Spirit. And I pray that You would teach us day by day as Your disciples to understand and to experience more and more all that the Holy Spirit brings to us in this walk. Holy Spirit, we praise You because You're present. We praise You for Your power. And we praise You because You are truth. And You guide us in the truth. For this we give You thanks, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's stand together and sing. And we're going to sing this great song, Holy Spirit, Breathe on Me. It's a prayer. And it's a great way to respond to God's Word and His Spirit tonight. Some of you may need to make public response, coming to join or receive Christ as Savior. You can do that as we sing this song.